Morning. Today's daf in Tzvachim is Pei Beis. We are in Pei Alpha Amud Beis. We are right in the middle of the Amud with the words Tashma. It's halfway down in the Amud. The first word in the line is Kara, Ve'in Tamar So Kreva. And the Gemara Tashma coming here. We are looking to cite a support. A support for what? So this is going back to yesterday's daf and the discussion we had that started on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara wanted to know, in terms of the Shirayim, so where could it be applied? In other words, we know by Karban Chatos that you do four applications on the four corners on the top of the Mizbeach, and then after that, the rest of the blood is going to be poured. Ayisod Mizbeach, it's poured on the foundation, the base of the Mizbeach. We also know that that principally means that there's a base to every to the Mizbeach. We described it already in great detail earlier in the Masechta. And that base goes up one Amma, and then it cuts in an Amma. And that goes around the Mizbech. It doesn't go around the entire perimeter of the Mizbech, as we already discussed extensively. It goes around a good amount of the Mizbech, but in other words, but that's the base of the Mizbech. That's the Yesod of Mizbech. We also know that Shvicha Shiraim, the pouring of the Shiraim, is really simple. You just simply take the remainder of the blood, and you pour it onto the horizontal side of this base, meaning the top of the base. So that one Amma area that where it cuts in, so it creates obviously a horizontal ledge. So that's where you're pouring the Shvicha Shiraim. That's clear. That is very clear in the Pesukim, and that's very clear throughout the Gemaras as well. What the Gemara right now is entertaining is the following. Let's say I don't pour it on the horizontal, but simply I pour it against the side of the Mizbech, and it's going to drip down unobstructed and hit the horizontal of the Yesod. Is that going to be good enough? So this is what we discussed yesterday, and it was a machlokas amarayim yesterday. Abaye said yesterday, I'm just reviewing, you don't have to turn back, but I'm pay alpha and aleph. Amar Abaye loshanu ala tchilas chatas v'olas avasof chatas v'ola divrei akol makam ola makam shirayim. Makam ola makam shirayim can be one and the same, meaning the ola blood is sprinkled against the side of the wall of the mizbech. And what the Gemara is arguing, what Abaye is arguing is the same thing as shirayim. Shiraim could also be applied to the wall of the Mizbech. What it's going to then do, obviously, through the help of gravity, is it's going to just drip down and hit the base of the Mizbech. Amle Rav Yosef, to which Rav Yosef said to him, no, ha'acham Rav Yehuda, Shiraim tzrichim itztaba. No, it's not correct. Shiraim have to go directly on the itztaba. Itztaba over here in this context means on the actual horizontal base. It has to go directly onto the Yesod Mizbech. Having it drip down is going to be insufficient. So this was a machlokes between Abaye and Rav Yosef. You remember yesterday's daf, Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan also had the same debate as well. And so the Gemara wanted to bring proofs in terms of whether or not either position could in fact be supported. So Tashma, and that's where it leaves us off right now. We are on Pei Alpha Amud Beis, right in the middle of the Amud. Nasa Lamala V'lo Nimlach. So we had a number of scenarios where I have bloods of various carbonates get mixed up together. The blood of carbon that should go up with the blood of carbon that should go below the chutah sikra. And let's say the Kohen didn't consult. Remember what happens if the Kohen consults? It depends who you would ask. If he would have consulted the Chachamim said, unfortunately, you're going to have to discard all this blood and you're going to have to start again. The Rebbe Eliezer says, he subscribes to the concept of ro'in, that what we get to do is any blood that shouldn't go on the top, we could just simply view it as water. But in other words, but if he were to consult, the Chachamah would have said discard everything. Let's say this Kohen didn't consult, and he started by using the mixed blood, the Tarovis, and apply it above the Chutah. So they both are in agreement, Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim, that what you could do now with the remaining of the blood is sprinkle it below, and elu ve'ela olano. They both are going to serve as a kapara. And it will both work. So my love, the i'arev chatas ve'olam. Now the Gemara says, now what are we talking about over here? Presumably what we're talking about is the blood of a chatas gets mixed up with the blood of the olam. That's what we're talking about, presumably. So now, let's follow. I started with this tarov of sprinkling it above. So in other words, I fulfilled my application of the chatas. What does that leave me with the remainder of the blood? Really leaves me with two things. One, obviously there's Ola blood mixed in, so that needs an application on the lower half of the Mizbech. Also, there's Shirayim of the Chatas. That also I need to do. Now, Viktani, Ela Ve'ela, Modim Shiach Ve'itin Lamata. So, and now what are you doing with the remaining of the blood? You're simply applying it to the wall of the Mizbech below the Chutah Sikra. And what it sounds like from the Brisa saying is that you will now get checks across the board. You're going to get a check for your, obviously for your chatos, because you did it above. You're going to get check for your ola, because you did it below. You're also going to get a check for the shiraim of the chatos. And now, if this is an all in fact correct, if our speculation is right, that is a clear indication that you could take the shiraim and apply it even to the wall of the mizbech. Ushma mina, makam ola, makam shiraim. So the Gemara says it seems to be pretty conclusive. Ki asa Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef amre b'marav ha'ach b'maizkinan. So the Gemara says, look, it's a good proof, but it's not a great proof. In other words, we could deflect. And we could say as follows, kegon di'i arev chatas hachitzona b'shirayim. In other words, we could give an okimta. We can give a specific case to the Braisa. The Braisa is talking about a case where the chatas chitzona was mixed together with shirayim. And under those circumstances, we are basically going to take out the ola from the equation. And when we say below, we mean onto the base below. So Amale Abai Vename Amar Kigon Di Arev Bishirayim. So the Gemara says, why don't we say that it get mixed up with the Shirayim? Dilma Hakamashmalan Afila Mandam Shirayim Ma'akvim Chasra Ein Ma'akvim. The Gemara says, still there's a chiddush to be said, because there is an opinion. We already entertained this opinion earlier in the Masechta. There is an opinion that Shirayim is Ma'akev, meaning once you do the applications of the four Koranos, the four corners of the Mizbeach, Shirayim certainly is a mitzvah. That part's clear. But is it critical? Is it essential? So this is something that we've deliberated over the course of the Masechta. And even if you want to tell me that Shirayim is Ma'akiv, but Chasro ain't Ma'akiv, but just because I'm missing some of the Shirayim, that in itself is not going to be of critical nature. So certainly the pouring of the Shirayim is critical, but if I'm Chasro, but if I'm missing a little bit, that is not going to, that's not going to be a deal breaker vis-a-vis the Karban Chatos. Okay, so far... Once again, we attempted to bring a proof in terms of whether or not Shirayim can be applied to the side of the Mizbech and simply have it drip down. Once again, we quoted a Braisa. The Braisa seems to support that. The Gemara says, but we can give another Ukimta on the Braisa. Amle Rav Tuzfala Ravina Ha Ukim Na'i Beruba Al Yonim. So the Gemara says, yeah. Well, you know, this is not the first time we've been through this Braisa. We said this Braisa over yesterday, and we gave an Ukimta yesterday. We said yesterday that of this solution, of this mixture of blood of the carbon that should go above and blood of a carbon that should go below. So if you remember in yesterday's daf, we said that it was talking about Ruba Elyonim, that the majority of this blood is made up of the blood that should go above, and V'kayayv Lamala, Shir Tachton V'od. And the Ukimta that we gave yesterday is again, I'll throw out numbers so we can discuss this, you know, a little bit more intelligibly. Let's say it's 11 ounces of blood. 10 ounces are of Chatas. 1 ounce is of an ola. And so what I want to do, in other words, remember yesterday we were entertaining the idea of Ein Bila, that there is not an even distribution. It doesn't get evenly blended together. And because of that, we simply don't know of the 11 ounces. When I sprinkle an ounce, which ounce was it? An ounce of the... I don't bite. So the, you know, most of the time I don't bite. So the... So I don't know, and when I take any ounce of these 11 ounces, which ounce I'm taking. So to ensure that we're going to get some of the upper blood above. So what I'll do is I'll take an ounce and a half, 2 ounces. In other words, I'll just simply take more of an ounce and put it on the upper part of the mizbeach. That way, it ensures that even if I took all the blood of the tachtonim, good, but that was only 1 ounce. Anything I take above that, for sure, is going to be the blood of the Elyonim. So this is the Ukimta that we gave yesterday. So the Gemara says, and now you're giving me a different Ukimta? So I'm related. So the Gemara says, really simply, yeah. Hani milamandam rumi karein bila. Maskan bekosis pligin. Yeah, that was yesterday's daf. Meaning in yesterday's daf, we were defending the position of Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was saying that according to Rabbi Elazar, ain bila, there is no even distribution of liquids that get mixed together. So as we're defending Rav Ashi, so we gave Inukimta to defend Rav Ashi. But now we're discussing a different topic. Now we're discussing the topic of where should the Shirayim go. So principally we know where the Shirayim go, but can it go onto the side of the Mizbech and just simply have it roll down to the base of the Mizbech? So it's a different topic. So now as we're learning the Braisa vis-a-vis this topic, we don't have to go with yesterday's Ukimta. Yesterday's Ukimta was just in defense of Rav Ashi. Today we're discussing a different topic, so therefore we're going to give a different Ukimta in the Braisa. Okay. We're in Pei Alpha Amud Beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. And now, let's remind one another. Karban Chatas. Karban Chatas, a unique carbon that provides kapara. So there are, Karban Chatas can be divided into two categories. Again, it could be carbonos could be split up in so many different ways. But in terms of the nature of a carbon chatzis, we have a chatzis chitzona and we have a chatzis panimi. Let's remind ourselves. Chatzis chitzona is any carbon chatzis that where it's going to be sprinkled on the outer mizbeach. Such a carbon chatzis is going to be consumed by zichrei kohuna, the male kohanim, inside of the azara, as opposed to a chatzis hapanimis. Chatzis hapanimis is a carbon chatzis where the blood of the carbon chatzis is going to be sprinkled on the inner mizbeach. It's going to first be sprinkled onto the paroches that separates the kodesh and the kodesh kodashim. Then it's going to be applied to the inner mizbeach, and then the shiraim of that carbon is going to be poured on the outer mizbeach. But no application is made on the outer mizbeach. Such a carbon of chatzis hapanimis, what happens to the meat? It is burnt in its entirety. No kohen is going to be eating the chatzis hapanimis. It is simply to be burnt in the beis hasreifa, chutz lamachana, outside. Outside over here means outside of the gimel machnos, meaning you're taking it past the azara, past the harabais, outside of Yerushalayim, and you're burning it outside over there. This is the halacha regarding the chatzis hapanimis. When do you bring chatzis hapanimis? So I think over the course of the Masechta, we introduced ourselves to five different chatzis hapanimis. Two of them are in Yom Kippur, which happens obviously annually. So the seir and the par of Yom Kippur are two chatzis hapanimis, and then there are three others mentioned in the Torah. One is a special chatzis brought by the Kohen Gadol in the event that he violated one of the Isuri Kares. A second is Parhelm Davishal Tzibur. If Bezdin rules erroneously, and the majority of the Tzibur follows the erroneous ruling of the Bezdin, that is another example of Chatzis Panimis. And finally, third is the Seir of Avodah Zarah mentioned in Parsha Shlach. Right? If the Tzibur violates Avodah Zarah, so then, or a Yachid violates Avodah Zarah, so that too is a Chatzis Panimis. Fine? So there's a Chatzis Chitzona, that's a standard carbon Chatzis, and then the Chatzis Panimis, as we just described. Now, Hanitanim Bifnim Shinetarva Binitanim Bechutz. So let's now discuss a scenario in which we have carbon chatzis that get mixed up together. Chatzis of a panimi gets mixed up with chatzis of a carbon that a chatzis that should have been offered on the outside. So now what do I do? So Yishpechu La'ama. So over here says the Mishnah, discard the blood. Now discard the blood. You will notice in this Mishnah we have no Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning Rabbi Eliezer earlier, who entertained the idea of Rowan. Look, I got bloods mixed together. Whatever blood I don't need right now, I could view it as water. So we've seen that time and again throughout this Masechta, and conspicuously absent from our Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Stay tuned. We are going to explain why Rabbi Eliezer doesn't contest our Mishnah. Nasim b'chutz v'chazav v'nasim b'fnim kasher. Now, let's say you took the blood and you sprinkled it outside, and then you sprinkled it inside, so then kasher. In other words, you shouldn't do this, meaning you should discard it, but in the event that you took this mixed blood and you first sprinkled it on the outside, on the outer mizbech, and then you took it inside and sprinkled on the inner mizbech, you're good. B'fnim v'chazav v'nasim b'chutz. Now, let's say you took the blood and you went inside and then you went outside. Rabbi Akiva posav v'chacham emachshirim. Now, let me make one clarification. At this point in time, we have bloods get mixed together. That part's clear. And one of the two bloods is a chatzis panimis. That's also clear. At this juncture of the Mishnah now assumes that what the other blood is could be any carbon. Meaning, the way I set it up, it's a chatzis panimis, a chatzis chitzona. But let's do the following right now in the Mishnah. Let's expand. Let's say the blood of a panimi gets mixed up with any of the carbon of any other of any other carbon. Sorry, gets mixed up with the blood of any other carbon. So now, if you first take it into the heichal and sprinkle it on the inner mizbeach, and then you take it outside, so Rabbi Kiva postal. So Rabbi Kiva says at that point in time, the blood that was supposed to go on the inner mizbeach becomes disqualified. The chachamim machshirim, the chachamim say no, it's kosher. Now, she Rabbi Kiva omer kol dam shenichnus l'chaper beheichal psulim. Rabbi Kiva is of the following position. Really interesting position. Here's what we all know. If I take blood that is supposed to be sprinkled on the outer mizbeach, and I remove it outside the azara, that blood becomes disqualified. That's a psul yotze. In other words, once it's taken outside the azara, that blood becomes disqualified. According to Rabbi Akiva, not only is there a psul of yotze, but there's also a psul of nichnas. Once the blood is taken into the heichal, so it also becomes disqualified. So really interesting, according to Rabbi Akiva, blood that is destined to go on the Aron Mizbeach can only be in the courtyard, in the temple Azara. But it can't go outside, nor can it go interior into the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash. V'chachamim omrim, chatas bovad. And the Chachamim say no. The Chachamim say that the halacha of the blood going interior into the actual heichal, into the actual building, is only vis-a-vis the carbon chatas, and it does not apply to any other carbon. So now follow. In other words, in our case where we had a mixture of dam of the chatas panimi get mixed up with, let's say, any carbon, the blood of any carbon. So now, according to Rabbi Akiva, once I take that blood into the heichal, so vis-a-vis the blood of the panimi, you're good. In other words, that's where it's supposed to go. But because there's a tarovitz, it's mixed together with the blood of an outer mizbeach. And since, according to Rabbi Akiva, any blood becomes disqualified once it goes into the heichal, obviously it then becomes disqualified. Whereas according to the Chachamim, the halacha only applies to a chatas chitzona, but to no other carbon. So it's true according to the Chachamim. If a chatas panim and a chatas chitzona gets mixed together, and I brought that mixture into the azara, so then the chatas chitzona gets pasul, but that's not true for any other carbon. All this is going to be elaborated in the Gemara in terms of what exactly they're arguing about. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afa Asham. Shenemar kechatas ka'asham. This takes us all the way back to day one of the Masechta, where Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, you could thread him through the entire Masechta, where he views an Asham as a subcategory, as a sub-carbon of a carbon chatas. Whatever rules apply to a carbon chatas also applies to a carbon Asham as well. Conceptually, it makes a lot of sense. As we discussed earlier, a chatas is there to provide a kapara, and an Asham is there to provide a kapara as well. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that whatever special and unique halacha is applied to the carbon chatas also apply to an Asham as well. Remember day one? We talked about shechting a carbon chatas with shinui kodesh, with another carbon designation in mind. For any other carbon, the halacha is it's the carbon's still kosher. Disconnected from the owner, but the carbon's still kosher. Mashenke, when it comes to carbon chatas, and you have that kind of kavana, shinui kodesh, when the kohen shechts it, he says this is a shlamim, so it disqualifies the carbon chatas. And all the way back in the Mishnah, and oh, by the way, parenthetically, same thing is true regarding the carbon pesach bizmano. And then you go back to the first Mishnah, the Masech, the Daf Beis, and Rabbi Eliezer says it's also true by the Asham. Asham, same thing. So in our Mishnah as well, we have a unique halacha that applies to carbon chatas, that the blood of a carbon chatas brought into the heichal, the blood of a chatas chitzona brought into the heichal becomes disqualified. And so Rabbi Eliezer says same thing is true regarding the Asham as well. The Niflog Nami Rabbi Eliezer, Beha. So the Gemara says, so where is Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah? So the answer is he's not there in the Mishnah. But of course the question is, why isn't he there in the Mishnah? Throughout this entire perek, you keep going through the Mishnahs again and again, you get the theme. There's a theme alert. And that is that according to Rabbi Eliezer Rowan, we have the principle that anytime I have a tarovis and there are two bloods mixed together, I could view as one of the bloods as if it doesn't exist or treat it like water. So over here, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer subscribe to the principle of Rowan? To which the Gemara says, okay, over here, let's think it through. What exactly would be the solution for Rabbi Eliezer? So, Beha Hechile Aved. Nesiv Bechutz V'Hada Nesiv Lifnim. So the Gemara says, well, I have the blood of a chatzos penimis gets mixed up with the blood of another carbon. So here, why don't we just simply sprinkle on the outer mizbech first? And again, as far as the inner blood is concerned, view it as water. Then take the mixture and bring it into the inner mizbech and sprinkle in the inner mizbech. So the Gemara says you can't do that. Why not? Meaning, it sounds good, sounds like a great solution, but the Gemara says no. Kishem shemitzvah lahaktim elyon l'tachtonim, kach mitzvah lahaktim penim l'chutz. Because, as far as karbonos are concerned, there is a very specific order. If I have two karbonos to bring, and one is a chatzas and the other one is an ola, one goes on the upper part of the mizbech, one goes on the lower, upper always comes before lower. The Gemara says the same thing is true regarding if I have two karbanos to bring and I have two bloods to sprinkle, one is the panimis and the other one is the chitzona, panimis always comes before the chitzona. Why should that be? So Rashi writes super succinctly on the bottom of the Amud, depanim chashav. So Rashi just simply says because the panim is more significant. So it's more important. I can understand this on the most basic level, meaning you're taking the blood and bringing it into the actual edifice itself, into the building itself. So on those grounds, I can understand it. But still, in other words, I don't fully. In other words, they're both the dam of a carbon. But okay, anyway, that's the.
Not like that with birds, right?
Well, by birds, there's no pnimis by birds. In other words, the only idea of taking blood of a carbon and going inside is only by animals, and only by achatas. The Gemara says, okay. So in other words, so sprinkling the mixture outside and then going inside, in theory works, but practically no, because there is a prescribed order. You first must go inside and then you go outside. Right, exactly. In other words, b'di'evid, Rabbi Eliezer would have been fine if you did it, but that's only b'di'evid. The chatchila, that's not going to work. Now, as we turn to the top of Pei Beis, Amud Aleph, v'nesiv lifnim v'hadar nesiv l'chutz. So the Gemara says, okay, so then let's reverse. So let's take our mixture, let's first go inside and then go outside. The Gemara says, you can't do that. Because although for most of the karbanos, this would be true, meaning you're right. However, if the mixture was a mixture of chatas chitzona and chatas panimi, so once I take this mixture and bring it into the heichal, so for the chatas panimi, you're good. But for the chatas chitzona, that becomes disqualified, meaning the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Eliezer follows the majority viewpoint of the chachamim of our Mishnah, that the blood that's brought inside is only going to be disqualified if it's a chatas chitzona. So but in other words, since in that case you have disqualifying the chatas chitzona, so therefore that it's lo psikale. So then the Mishnah couldn't issue a ruling because the ruling wouldn't apply across the board. I guess you can then follow up with the question: why doesn't the Mishnah just simply say, in most karbanos, bring it inside and then bring it outside? But for the chatas chitzona, if it's a chatas chitzona, it gets mixed up with the chatas pinim, then you can't do that. I guess the Mishnah again was also just being. Just being as terse as possible, and since this is not a rule that always applies, therefore the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Okay.
Sorry, yeah, the Chacham say that if you go inside and you have there's a mix outside and inside, and you take it inside, they say the inside one is done, but the outside one you cannot apply.
Right.
So why in the past when it was up and down, they said you have to put it in the canal when it's combined. Why
aren't
they saying no?
They are saying that. In other words, the Mishnah says you have to discard the blood. That's exactly what the Mishnah says.
The inside one should not be accepted either.
Neither should be applied.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Why can't you say Rowan for the outside blood when it's inside?
Because, in other words, Rowan allows you to disregard the Zrika, but Rowan can't ignore the fact that the blood is actually in the Heichal. I'll follow up with another question, which is not my question. It's Rashi's question. Why not say the following? Meaning, look. So, in other words, the Gemara just simply said for Rabbi Eliezer, who subscribes to the principle of Rowan, so Efshar. In other words, there's nothing to do. In other words, you can't disregard the correct order, which is first go inside, then go outside. And you can't disregard the fact that once the outer blood is taken inside, it becomes disqualified. Rashi asks over here, okay, I'm with you. But in other words, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, we do have a half solution. In other words, right now the Gemara is saying there's zero solution. Rashi says, isn't there a half solution? Which is, take the mixture, bring it inside to the into the Heichal, and sprinkle on the inner Mizbeach. Right. Oh, it's true that you're going to be disqualifying the inner Mizbeach. Okay, that's true. But at least now you covered one of those two karbanos. So why no? Really, the truth of the matter is, according to everybody. This question of Rashi, even though it's on our sugya, seemingly would be true according to everybody. Rashi writes, if you want to see it inside, I'll read inside, Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Rashi Dibur HaMazchel, Kevin Dika Chatzis V'Ashem, we could just skip right to the question. V'im Tomar, from the top of the Rashi, it's five lines down. V'im Tomar Lifsalina L'Chitzonim L'Hachshir Panimim. Okay, so why don't we just bring all the blood inside, sprinkle it on the inner Mizbeach, and okay. So in other words, you got half the job done. So Rashi's answer, Lemifsalina biyadayim lo kama Rebbe Elazar. Umutav lahamtin achkiyasachama v'yifsulu me'alehem v'yishvechem la'ama. Rashi writes, look, there's organic disqualification, and then there's disqualification which we create. Rashi says, I'd rather allow for, I mean, this is not Rashi, this is really just an explanation of the Gemara. We would rather allow for an organic disqualification, meaning just let it sit there, allow sunset to occur, And now it's possible through Shkias HaChama, like we discussed already a number of times in the Masechta. Once the sun sets, the blood is now disqualified. Let that happen, rather than me, B'yadayim, actively take the blood and bring it into the inner Mizbeach, thereby disqualifying the outer Chatas blood, so then I'm doing it B'yadayim, Mutav, it's better to allow for disqualification to come on its own, rather than actively create disqualification. So suggests Rashi. Shaya Rabbi Kiva Omer, we're on the very top of Pei Beis Amud Aleph, and here we begin now a somewhat better understanding of the Mishnah vis-a-vis the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Rabbi Kiva says that blood of any carbon brought into the Heichal becomes disqualified, with the obvious exception, of course, is Chatzos HaPnimis, which is that's what you're supposed to do. And whereas according to the Chachamim, no. The Isser in the Torah is limited only to Chatzos Chitzona, which is brought inside. All other carbonos where the blood's brought inside, it doesn't become disqualified. You simply take it out and you bring it out. To which now the Gemara tries to explain to us this a little bit better. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, Mashal Amad, Avadama, let me give you a Mashal. Letamin Shemazik L'Rabba B'Chamin. Let's say the student was attending to his Rebbe. Oh, the old days. Oh, they were good. Mm-hmm. In other words, so when back in the good old days, so the student served the Rebbe. So the and what were the student was serving to the Rebbe, of course, was wine. This part doesn't. I'm not a big wine drinker, so this doesn't appeal to me. But anyway, and obviously with every wine, obviously there was a dilution. So in other words, you don't just simply pour wine. Of course, you're mosaic. You dilute the wine. And now it was optional whether you diluted it with warm water or with cold water. Would you like your wine chilled, or would you like it, you know, a little bit warm? So up until now, so the student has been pouring warm water for the Rebbe. Va'amalo mezogli, and now the Rebbe says, "Okay, do me a favor, another cup, please." So amalo bameh amar bameh. So the student says, "Well, how would you like it?" So amalo. Lo bechamim anu asukim. So achshav bein bechamim bein mitzonim. So look, up until now, look, this is not our first drink. Okay, so this is already, you served me up a couple already. And up until now, it's been warm. So at this point in time, bein bechamim bein mitzonim. If I didn't say anything, so then obviously it would have been status quo. But by virtue of the fact now that I'm giving further instruction, so therefore bein bechamim bein mitzonim. So here, both with warm and with cold. Now, you're probably wondering, what are we talking about right now? Meaning, obviously, it's important to understand that the student needs to be serving the Rebbe. That's great. But in other words, in the context of our discussion, blood being brought inside and then subsequently brought outside, like, what is going on over here that we're having this kind of discussion? It seems totally irrelevant to what's going on. So, let me start off with Rashi, in terms of the Mashal. So Rashi writes regarding the Mashal, Mashal de Rabbi Akiva, de Mashmal le shar kol adamim bechla kol chatas asher yuvami dama, lama adavar dama letam shemazik lo rabbi yai mechamin, sorry, I want to the next Rashi. Lo bechamin manu oskim, v'kimit sh'ani omer lecha mezog stam, bechamin hayisi omer. If the Rebbe's instructions, again, first, second, third drink of the day has been chamin, has been a dilution with warm water. So if Rebbe would have just simply said, "Hey, serve me up another one," so it would have been warm water. Achshav hineni omer lecha bein bechamin bein mitzonim. But now, I'm telling you, it could either be bechamin or mitzonim. It could be either or. So at which point in time, klamar ha'osek bedavar ein ragel laskiru kishemadaber bo ve'im maskiru bedato lahosif acherim imo. If I'm giving you any more instruction, it's because we are changing the default. Okay. So that is Rashi's understanding of the Mashal. Now let's obviously bring this all to our discussion, because this has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But as the Gemara is going to now point out, of course it has everything to do with what we're talking about. Hachanami michti bechata saskina. So the Gemara says that really, with the truth of the matter is that the Torah already is talking about achatas. So So we're talking about achatas. V'aseh chatas dekas rachmana lamali. We're looking over here at the end of the sixth parak of Vayikra, Parshat Tzav. I'm going to just simply cover some of the psukim inside. Parashat Tzav, we get to review the Karbanos once again. In other words, in Parashat Vayikra, the Torah introduces us to the Karbanos. And Parashat Tzav, it's a review with some more technical details. Where is the Karban Chatas eating? In the Azara. There's a special laundering requirement if the blood of the Karban Chatas goes in your clothing. We're going to be discussing that later in the Masechta. If the chatas meat is cooked in an earthenware pot, you break the pot. If the chatas meat is cooked in a metal pot, so it requires both a kashering and a rinsing. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the Masechta as well. Male kohanim eat it. Good. And here, listen carefully as we get to now the last pasuk regarding the chatas. This is the 23rd pasuk of the parak. Chol chatas asher yuva midama el ol moed, and the chatas where the blood is brought into the ol moed, lechaper bekodesh lo se achel vaish tisarev. If the blood of chatas chitzona goes into the ol moed, meaning into the actual structure itself, so then the meat is no longer edible, meaning it's disqualified. Vaish tisarev, the meat is going to be burnt, meaning it's going to be disqualified. If I didn't know a Mishnah in Zvachim, meaning the Mishnah that we did this morning, and you would have asked me, which carbon when brought inside, right, it's like a simple question, which carbon when brought inside is going to be disqualified? So I would have said the carbon chatas. As by virtue of the fact that the Torah says, v'chol chatas asher yuva midama el moed, l'chaper bekodesh lo se achel. Sounds pretty clear that's talking about the carbon chatas. So this is now the mashal, and this is how the Gemara is understanding Rabbi Akiva. Look, contextually, I just went through the entire parsha. We're talking about the carbon chatas. In Pasuk Chav Gimel, there's no need to mention v'chol chatas. That's the context of the parsha in which we're dealing with. So Rabbi Akiva says, by virtue of the fact that the Torah says v'chol chatas, that's the default setting. That's the Rebbe saying to the Talmud, if I didn't tell you anything, well, you've been pouring me, you've been diluting with warm water, keep diluting with warm water. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says the words chatas over here, it must be an expansion. That's Rabbi Kiva's understanding over here.
Sure.
Yes.
But if you look at the pasuk, it specifies that it's specifying specific.
I know.
Unnecessary chatat that's just being mentioned and get used as like.
Okay, good. So you're right now arguing on behalf of the Chachamim. You're in a good camp. Right now, my job is just to simply explain the Rabbi Kiva. I'm doing it with the help of the Gemara. This is how the Gemara is supporting Rabbi Kiva. I'm sorry, the Bei Mitzvah Hachanami. Michti bechatas says, "Kin v'asichatas dekasav rechman alam ali elala chatas kamin ala ela kol kadashim." So this is how Rabbi Kiva understands it. So based on the mashal. So maskala Ravuna Bere de Rav Yoshua Michti. So to which the Gemara now is going to challenge. Is Rabbi called Kajashim Lagabe Mizbeach Lingin Marika Vishtifa? So, vis a vis all the Karbanos, so the Halacha Marika and Shtifa apply. So, in other words, this idea where if I cook a Karban in a pot, so I must kasher the pot. That's not a Halacha that's limited to the Karban Chatas, that's true by all Karbanos. Chatas the Kasav Rechman Alamali, so Shmamina Chatas in Midiach Rinalam. So the Gemara says, so therefore, when the Torah says the word chatas, what the Torah's got to do is the Torah's got to bring us back to chatas. Meaning that in the parsha, we start with chatas, but then we go to a halacha that's a universal halacha. That's why the Torah, at the end of the parsha, has got to bring us back to chatas, because the Torah's now got to tell us, hey, this last point over here, it's only related to chatas. He says, now, let's go back to our mashal. So at this point in time, what's the Talmud been serving the Rebbe? He's going to be going back and forth. Sometimes warm, sometimes cold. Amar lo al timzog li el chamin. To which he says, no. All I want is chamin. I only want warm. So el time of the Rebbe Akiva. So the Gemara says, okay. So this argument the Gemara says we're going to abandon. Meaning this is not the right way to understand Rebbe Akiva, but rather it goes like this. Mechatas v'chol chatas, detanya. In other words, look at the pasuk. The pasuk says v'chol chatas. So it's the kol that's going to be the key. Chatas ainli ela chatas. Kol chekadashim inayin tamalamar kol chatas. So when it says the word kol, obviously is a reboot, it's an expansion. So that means to tell me that it applies to other karbanos. Now, at this point in time, we're going to expand, but we're not going to go to a full expansion. Meaning we're only going to go to those kinds of karbanos that are similar to a karban chatas, i.e., it falls under the umbrella category of kachim kachim. Kachim kalim minayim, minayim, but the Gemara says, okay, but it also is true by other karbanos as well. Tamalomer v'chol chatas, div Rabbi Kiva. So the Vav. The Vav over there also serves as another ribui. So the Amalo Rebbe Yosef Glila Fila Tamar Bekola Yom Kulo Enishom Elacha Ela Chatas. I'm sorry, Enishom Elach. So you can give me ribuim all day. I'm not buying it. Ela Chatas Enli Ela Chatas Yachid Chatas Sibor Minayim Tamalom Bekol Chatas. So the Gemara says, look, when we're talking about Chatas, so we'll start with the Chatas Yachid. And then we'll move to a chatas sibor. And how will I do that? With the word kol. V'ainli ala chatas zachar chatas nekeva minayin. Now we'll go from a male chatas. What about a female chatas? Tamalamar v'chol. So the Gemara says the vav. So in other words, even if I'm going to buy into this idea, which I will, that the kol and the v'chol is coming serving as an expansion, it's only expanding within the world of chatas. It's not going to expand outside of the world of chatas. Now the Gemara over here just has one really small technical point, and that is that we start with the male chatas and then we expand to the female chatas. It should go the other way. We should start with the female chatas and expand to the male chatas. The Gemara just makes this point. Kapalaya ala hafi kamar ainli ala chatas nekeva chatas zachar minayin tamlamar v'chol chatas. Okay. And the reason why Rashi says that we start with the female chatas is because the female chatas is the most popular chatas. Individuals, for the populace, right? A carbon yachid, it comes from a female carbon chatas. The male carbon chatas are limited to the Kohen Gadol, the Nasi, Par Halam Davar Shel Tzibur. Those are exceptional. So the starting point is the female chatas, and then expands to the male chatas. Fine. The Savar of Yosef Glili, Haikra Lahachi Dasav Atanya Rav Yosef Glili. I'm in the Gemara says, but wait 1 second. I know that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, he darshens the pasuk otherwise. Omer, kol ha'inyan kulo ina madabe ela bepar minisrafim isirim minisrafim. Lisrof psulehem abes abira v'lamod below sase al achilaso. That the entire pasuk over here is talking about the bulls and the goats which are burnt. This is another way just simply to describe chatas apnimios, where if they become disqualified, so you burn them in the Beis Abira. Now, a successful offering of a chatas pinimus, like we discussed earlier this morning, means that I take the animal itself and burn it all the way outside of all three machros. I take it outside the walls of Yerushalayim and burn it there. If, however, they become disqualified, so I don't take it all the way outside, there's a designated area within, now I'm not sure if it's within the Har Bayis, but in other words, there's a designated area within the machane in which disqualified carbonates get burned. It's a little counterintuitive. Meaning, if you do it successfully, you take it all the way outside. But in other words, if there's a disqualification, it's burned somewhere in the machane. But anyway, v'lamod below sal sal achilasal, and there's also a negative prohibition to eat it. So amru lo chatash nichnas dam lefnei v'lefnei minayin. So they say to him, well, the blood brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, how do I know that becomes disqualified? Amalehem hein lo huva. So he learns that from the pasuk of hein lo huva. Hein lo huva comes up a little bit later on in Sefer Vayikra. In Sefer Vayikra, at the end of Parsha Shmini, so the first machlokus that we see, first halachic machlokus, where on the day of inauguration, so what ended up happening is that Aaron and his sons decided not to eat a karban, and Moshe goes in there, and Moshe goes, Moshe's angry, and he says, why are you not eating the karban? And what comes out over here is that one of the lines that Moshe says to Aaron is, you know, the blood of the karban chatas wasn't brought in, which gives a very clear indication that had it been brought in, it would have been disqualified. And then I understand your position, but that's not what happened. But incidentally, we all learn together that when the blood is brought in, it's going to be disqualified. And this is where Rav Yossi derives the halacha, that blood brought in is going to be disqualified. So, why then is he turning to the psukim in Parshat Tzav to learn out the halacha? So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, you're right. Rav Yosef, if you asked him what his source is, so he goes to the dispute between Moshe and Aaron. Vis-a-vis Rabbi Kiva, he knows Rabbi Kiva generates the halacha from Parshat Tzav, the end of Perek Vav, so he's just speaking on Rabbi Kiva's terms. But he himself doesn't learn it from there.
He's Rabbi
Kiva's teacher,
right?
Because
I believe he was
Rabbi Kiva's
teacher.
One of his
Rebbeim.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't the Pesach Yemot and Tzav, isn't it clear that in that passage that you can't eat
yes.
A chadah that comes out, that goes up to you?
Yeah.
So why do you need hand luhuva?
It just, in other words, right. What? Or we could just simply reverse the question. Meaning, once I have hand luhuva, what is this pasuk coming to teach me? Meaning, what is Rav Yosef Galili going to do with this pasuk? Okay, the Gemara later will ask your question. Okay. Mishnah. Let's start with the Mishnah. We're on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. Chatas shekibal dama b'shnei kosos. So let's say I have a carbon chatas and the blood was collected in two cups. Okay. Normally, what happens after you shecht an animal, when I say normally, as if I knew, meaning I have not seen this, nor has anyone seen this for now, close to two millennia. But normally when you shecht a carbon, so the blood is received in one kos, in one cup, a kli shares, and then the blood is sprinkled on the mizbeach like we've discussed already numerous times. But let's say the blood is accepted in two cups. So now I could sprinkle from either one of the two cups. One of the two cups now becomes disqualified. And so now is there a pairing between these two cups? The fate of one cup now is going to be connected to the other cup, yes or no? And the Mishnah is going to be discussing. So if I have blood of a carbon chatas, it gets received into two separate cups. Now, if one of the cups is taken outside of the Azara, so clearly the cup that's taken outside is disqualified. The its twin, however, will still remain fine as it stayed in the Azara. However, continues the Mishnah, Nichnas Echem Em Lifnim, what if one of the cups is brought into the Heichal? Now, we're talking about a carbon chatas. We're all in agreement, as per the previous Mishnah. We're all in agreement that a chatas chitzona taken into the Heichal becomes disqualified. So here now, I accepted the blood in two cups. When one of the cups is brought inside, now what? Rav Yosi Haglili Machshir Bechitzon. So Rav Yosi Haglili says, okay. In other words, there is no pairing, and the cup that has remained in the Azara is still kosher. The Chachamim, poslim. And the Chachamim say, pasul. So for the Chachamim now, a really interesting phenomena, that when one of the cups is taken outside of the Azara, no pairing. When one of the cups is taken into the Heichal, a pairing. And the fate of one now will affect the other. Okay. Amr Rav Yosef Galili, ma im b'makom she'amachshav ha'posels b'chutz lo asas ha'mashuri kayotze, makom she'ina machshav ha'posels b'fnim, eino din shelo nase es ha'mashuri kenechnas. And Rav Yosef Galili says to the Chachamim, I, from an argument standpoint, from a logic standpoint, I seem to be much more correct. Why? Because let's consider. Let's go back to our pigle discussion. The one we discussed so often throughout the Masechta, the pigle discussion that we love. Now, when it comes to a machshavas pigel, chutzlim komo means that if I think while shechting the carbon that I'm going to be eating the carbon outside of its prescribed place. Outside of its prescribed place. Now, what is considered outside prescribed place? So for a chatzas, that would be anywhere outside the azara. So if I articulate while doing the shechita that I'm going to be eating this carbon chatzas in the Har Habayis area, so that's pigel, and it becomes disqualified. What if I have a machshava of not chutzas mano, but I have a machshava of eating it in the heichal? Is that going to disqualify through a machshava's pigel? And the answer, of course, is no. In other words, chutzas mano means it has to be outside, not interior. So you see that the chutz, the outside of the azara, is a more stringent area. It's an area that can create pigel, as opposed to the base of mikdash, which cannot create pigel. So Rav Yosef Galili says, look, you're with me that if I take, of those two cups, I take one of them outside to an area that is more restrictive based on pigel, and yet over there you say there's no pairing with the cup that's inside. So if I take one of the cups and bring it into the base of mikdash, which is a less restrictive area, and it's less by virtue of the fact of pigel. There is no pigel that's created through chutz limkomo with a machshava of eating it in the heichal. So if I bring one of the cups into the heichal, so there should for sure be no pairing, what we would call a kal v'chomer. So the Gemara says, "Nichnas a chafer." I'm sorry. I'm actually a pasos b'fnei. Meinu dishlo nasa zamachshu kenichnas. Okay. So period, or right at seemingly end of the argument. Now the Gemara is going to go over the give and take, and the Gemara is going to discuss it in more detail. Nichnas a chafer afa pishlo kiper pasol divrei Rabbi Elazar. Okay. Now the blood of a chatzis chitzona taken into the heichal will disqualify. But now the Mishnah discusses exactly at what point and does there need to be any kind of intent. So the Mishnah deliberates. Nichnas l'chaper. So let's say the blood of an outer chatzos is taken inside. Afa pi shelo kiper. Now, even though you didn't actually sprinkle on the inner mizbeach, but that was your intent. And with that, it becomes disqualified. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Shimon omer ad shechaper. Rebbe Shimon says no. The blood of an outer chatos that's brought inside will become disqualified, but only when you A, bring it inside, and B, actually sprinkle it on the inner mizbech. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, imech nashoge kasher. And Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if you brought it into the Eichel with no intention whatsoever to bring it into the Eichel, the Kohen was mindless, the Kohen was thoughtless, he was just holding the blood of the chatos, and it just happens to be that he's mindlessly walking into the Eichel. The blood does not become disqualified. Sounds like from Rabbi Huda that as long as he walks in with the intent of walking in, that now sets off the disqualification.
I mean, he's also reinforcing the concept of Kavana
here. Right, correct. Kol adamim psulim shenasno agabe mizbech lo hurtza hatzitz. Ela al hatame. And then finally the Mishnah over here recaps the halacha that we also have done earlier in the Masechta, that any blood that is sprinkled onto the mizbeach, the tzitz, the head plate worn by the Kohen Gadol, which does effect some extra level of protection for kabanos, only will help vis-a-vis the psul of tama, but no other psulim. Says the Mishnah, shatzitz meratz ala tame, vena meratz ala yotze. It can help vis-a-vis tame, but it cannot help any other disqualification. Our Mishnah, we're discussing the topic of yotze. The tzitz is not going to help that. Tanya. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. I'm Rav Yossi Aglili Kavachomer. So here we're now in this Braisa, we're going to be reviewing the argument of Rav Yossi Aglili to the Chachamim. Remember the first case in the Mishnah, where I receive the Chatas and Chitzona in two cups. When one of the two cups is brought outside of the Azara, no pairing. The cup that has remained inside the Azara is fine. When I take one of the cups and bring it into the Heichel, so for sure that cup is disqualified. But Rav Yossi Aglili says, but only that cup, not the cup that remained in the Azara. To which the Chachamim said, no. Now if you brought one cup into the Heichal, it pairs with its other cup, and they both become disqualified. And Rav Yossi Aglili says, I can't make sense what you're saying. And here, once again, we refresh the argument. So, Am Rav Yossi Aglili Kavachomer, Ma'akam Shemachshava Posas Bechutz, Lopasol Dam Shebechutz, Eshebifnim, in a place where Machshava is not Posel, if we're talking about outside the Azara, which creates pegel of chutzim kamo, lo pasol dam shebechutz shebifnim, and meanwhile it doesn't create a pairing of the two cups, makom shein machshava posel shebifnim, eino din shelo yifsol dam shebifnim et shebechutz. So then, an area where there is no chutzim kamo machshava, meaning in the heichal itself. So therefore, it's an area which is not as restrictive; it's more lenient. So for sure, there it shouldn't create a pairing. This is the exact argument of the Mishnah. Go over it again. You'll see this is the exact same argument as the Mishnah. The reason why we're doing this again is because this is a brisa, but it's going over the same argument. Amar le harei omer asher yuva midama afilu mixas dama. So to which the counter argument goes like this. It's not a counter argument. Your argument is a valid argument. The Kavacham is good. What do I have? I have a drasha. I have a pasuk. The pasuk says, once again, we return back to the debate between Aaron and Moshe. And Moshe says that if Asher Yuva, Midama, if any of the blood of a carbon chatzis is brought into the Heichal, it disqualifies the entire blood of all the chatzis, even the part that did not go in. Asher Yuva, Midama. Amalem kavachomer liyotze me'atomah b'makom shein machshava posel shebifnim posel dam shebifnim eshebechutz makom shemachshava posel shebechutz eno din shiifsol dam shebechutz eshebifnim. To which now the Gemara says, okay, So your drasha now tells you that if one of the cups is brought inside, it creates a pairing and disqualifies the one that remained outside in the Azara. So now the Gemara says, good. Now let's take this Kavachomer. We'll just simply reverse the Kavachomer and look. If a pairing is created when brought inside of the Heichal to disqualify the cup that remained outside of the Azara, so now if one of the cups is taken outside of the Azara, which is a more restrictive area, and again, it's more restrictive because pigul can be created through a machshava chutzim kama on the outside of the Azara, for sure a pairing should be created to disqualify the cup that remained inside. And again, the argument is great, but we have a drasha. The drasha counters the argument. So the Gemara says, okay, but why don't we say that the machshava bifnim should pasel through a kavachomer? So now what the Gemara is doing is we're going to take our arguments and actually attack what we believed we knew regarding machshava's pigul. Meaning the starting point of the argument is what we know regarding the pairing. If a pairing is created to create disqualification when one of the cups is brought in the hecha, and meanwhile there's no pairing to create a disqualification when it's taken outside of the azara. Well, look. If Machshavas Pigol applies to outside of the Azara, which is a more restrictive area, then for sure, I'm sorry, vis-a-vis the pairing is a less restrictive area, then for sure there should be a Pigol disqualification if you have in mind that you're going to be eating the carbon in the Heichal. In the Heichal is a more restrictive area, evidenced by the fact that a pairing can be created in the Heichal. So, Harei Omer B'yam HaShlishi. To which the Gemara says, again, the argument is wonderful. Love the argument. However, what we have over here is a drasha. Makom shehei meshulash bedam bebasar bi'imurim. Why is the machshava of chutzim kama only apply outside the Azara and not in the Heichal? And again, the answer is it's a drasha. The Torah says bayom hashlishi, on the third day. Now, we know the simple pshat in the Torah. We've gone over this many times. It means that I'm shechting a karban shlamim. I have 2 days to eat the karban shlamim. And the Kohen says, while he's shechting, I'm going to eat it on day three. That's okay, good. That's chutzos mano. But what we also generate from the word shlishi is a makom shei meshulash bedam bebasar bi'imurim. That to create a machshavas pigol of chutzim kamo, I have to be thinking about an area where all three things apply. The blood, the meat, and the imurim. Blood, meat, and imurim can all apply outside the Beis HaMikdash. I know that sounds strange. But I'll explain, as Rashi does over here. In other words, outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, there used to be historical periods, we're going to be talking about it at the end of this Masechta, where we could offer karbanos outside of Yerushalayim. In other words, between, while Shiloh was being set up, and between the Mishkan Shiloh lasted for 369 years, and between Mishkan Shiloh and the first Beis HaMikdash, which was a little bit over a 50-year period, so there was a heter bamos. People can have a bama in their backyard. People can offer karbanos in their backyard. So therefore, there is an area outside of the Beis HaMikdash where there's dam, there's basar, there's imurim. In the Heichal itself, of those three, there's only one thing going on in the Heichal, dam. You never bring meat into the Heichal. There's no imurim that's offered on the inner Mizbeach. So in other words, it's only dam. So therefore, we learn from this drasha that the chutz limkomo area, where if the Kohen thinks about this area will create pigul, is only outside. Let's do one more for this morning. So the Gemara says, why don't we say a machshava is posel b'chutz through? I'm sorry. Let's say that a machshava is posel is not going to be posel b'chutz using a kavachomer. So to which now the Gemara is arguing that, look, we know that there's no pigle that's going to apply on the interior, meaning in the Heichal. We've established that. So, and we also know that the interior can sometimes be more restrictive, i.e. the idea of the pairing that we discussed this morning. So now if the machshava pigle can apply to the Heichal, and that's a more restrictive area, so then a machshava of outside the Azara also should not disqualify the karban. So the Gemara says, It's funny. Sometimes the Kal Vachomer takes us to places which are almost right, which is almost like you know it's an absurdity. Just simply have to articulate it's an absurdity. So Tamar Lomer Shlishi Chutzes Mano Pigol Chutzem Kamo. So the Gemara says, okay, but once again we have a drasha, meaning yes, the argument could take us there, but the drasha tells us otherwise. The drasha teaches us that there's a machshava of Chutzem Kamo when the Kohen thinks about shechting it. I'm sorry, eating it outside of the Azara.